We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Can you just say a couple things? I just want to make sure you're still working.
How now, brown cow?
All right. All right. I am going to start in 1, 2, 3. We're doing a dynasty price check, looking at the strength of schedule streaming app and considering some interesting PP. Oh, shit. All right. I'm just going to do it like this. All right. We're doing a dynasty price check and looking at the strength of schedule streaming app on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin, one of the owners here at RotoViz, joined tonight by Curtis Patrick, the Dynasty Commander, who's calling in from his car on his home, on his way home from work. How are we doing, Curtis?
Hey, I'm living the dream, man. Early to work, late home from work, but I get to talk football with one of my favorite people in the whole wide world to talk football with. This is going to be great. I'm in a good mood. I've got some great positive thoughts to share, already queued up for the end of the episode, so let's get to it, man.
Awesome. So, we are going to do a little dynasty price check right now, but we're going to do this, Curtis, in a way that we've never done before, and that is, this is going to be a blind price check in that I'm going to read off some of the pertinent information about this player, some of their key stats, not giving you their name. Then based on that profile, we see what your reaction is in terms of how that player should probably be perceived just off of their production. So the player that we're talking about is a second-year wide receiver who put up 3 wide receiver one performances as a rookie, has just 2 this season, but across their time in the league has been a wide receiver one 22% of the time, a wide receiver 2, 17%. They have been inactive in 15% of games. Their stats last year in 12 games, they saw 97 targets, put up 748 yards. That's 12.5 yards per reception. They had 5 receiving touchdowns, 9 air yards per target. This year, they have 49 targets through 11 games. They are putting up 432 yards. That's 13.5 yards per reception with 3 touchdowns, 469 air yards. Last year, they had a target market share of 23%. This year, it's at 16%. They had a whopper last year, 0.56. This year, it's at 0.37. So you are looking at a player that had a pretty strong rookie season. This year, they have tapered off to some degree, have become a little less involved in their offense. In year 2, I will say this is a player that had pretty good draft capital entering the league. Obviously, you can't see these numbers, but based upon what I told you, what does this player feel like?
Yeah. So if we were just coming off if we were in a rookie season where these second year statistics were being put up, you know, it would feel like this player maybe was a late round, late first round rookie pick type of player last year. And I would say that I would, you know, maybe be willing to pay same draft capital again, but feels like this player is trending in the wrong direction. I don't like the description, less involved in his offense, the lack of availability, and the seeming very sporadic fantasy ceiling that's been achieved. I don't think I'd be willing to pay more than a second round rookie pick for this player, unless I'm just missing something huge, like there's a key piece of information I'm missing. So I would say this player feels like a random dynasty second.
Yeah. So I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with how you were able to come up with that answer on the fly here without looking at anything. This player is Brandon Ayuk of the San Francisco 49ers. So really tremendous rookie season. And like you expected, their big fall off this year. The interesting thing about his season is he did put up two wide receiver one performances that came in weeks 9 and 11. Other than that, though, not a single wide receiver two performance. So now that we know who the player is, Curtis, in comparison to the production that we've seen and that drop off, do you think that there's an exploitable delta between what the perceptions might actually be given this player's draft capital? Oh, it sounds like you kind of were expecting it to be in that range and what we're actually seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I use such a tough case study because, you know, he's a pretty popular player amongst our team here at RotoViz. But at the same time, when you really, now that I have this information, I start thinking about the context of the 49ers offense, how dynamic Deebo Samuel has looked in comparison to Ayuk. The fact that Kittle is, they've really got the running game cooking with Elijah Mitchell. The team has basically said Trey Lance is going to be the starter in 2022. So we're going to have to endure a quarterback change and a quarterback that may run a little bit more, pass a little bit less. I just don't see how the pie gets any bigger, the overall pie gets any bigger next season. So Ayuk basically is going to be forced to steal looks from Samuel, who's really been a revelation this year, coming into his own. Or, you know, Kittle, who's, you know, continually a matchup problem for opposing defenses. So I just don't see how it really gets much better. And I personally am not willing to actually pay more than the stated price that I mentioned. I think, you know, I think Ayuk at this point, we have some information where he's looked good, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I would almost rather roll the dice on a you know, what now would be a younger prospect who could potentially land in a better situation. So I'm going to stick with my evaluation, even though I have more information now.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring him up is with Deebo dealing with an injury right now, we might see another one or two decent to solid performances from him, which could raise his price. You know, most leagues might have had the trading deadline closed. But if you don't, that might give you an opportunity to try to move him if you are of the opinion that he's not going to be able to live up to what we might have seen after his rookie season, which I think is a realization that a lot of people are having. Let's move on, though. We are going to talk now about a running back that has played two full seasons. They're in their third year. Now, their rookie season was pretty impressive. Put up 1,150 rushing yards, 7 rushing touchdowns, caught 20 passes for 166 yards. That was on 242 rushes. They played in 13 games. In 2020, 15 games, 273 rushes, 1,064 yards. I should say yards per carry in their rookie season were 4.8, 3.9 in their second year, but 12 touchdowns, Curtis. 33 receptions that year for 238 yards. This year, they have played in just 9 games, 111 rushing attempts for 420 yards. That's 3.8 per carry, 6 touchdowns. More involved, though, this year in the receiving game is they're already at 30 receptions for 198 yards. As a rookie, they had 5 RB1 performances, 2 RB2 performances, followed that up again with 5 RB1 performances, but 4 RB2 performances in their second year. Then this year, they have just one RB1 performance under their belt, but everything else except two games have been RB2 level performances. So to kind of sum this up, you had a guy that as a player in his first two seasons compiled a pretty decent amount of yards, did pretty solid from a touchdown perspective, was flirting with an RB1 game, maybe every 1.5 games. And this year, we're kind of not seeing that, though they've been producing just more at an RB2 level. So player who will be heading into year 4, how are we feeling about this running back?
Yeah, I had myself muted, so that's not very good radio. Okay. Yeah, as you were talking through the stats, I was desperately trying to come up with names. I'm not sure off the top of my head without looking at a table if this is right. I have a sneaking suspicion that this might be Josh Jacobs. But the games missed don't feel quite right, but that's the best person I could come up with. So going into year 4, missing a couple games this year, showing more upside in the receiving game, but overall, getting across the stripe less. I mean, going into year 4, the other thing about this is, we should be seeing, we really in year 3 should be seeing peak performance from an elite type running back. I mean, year 4, you're starting to think, okay, we're getting toward the end of the first, contract. It'd be final year if it's not a former first round pick in particular. And so, it's a little concerned. This doesn't feel like a player that could actually accrue any more dynasty value. They probably have already peaked. It's probably a player that you would have to pay a late first for, would be my guess. Or maybe as the rookie draft approached, a pair of seconds could potentially do it, or a second and future first or something like that. That's where I'm going to say this is. This feels like maybe a late first in exchange for this player.
Yeah, dude, you nailed it. It is Josh Jacobs. So I'm impressed not only that you nailed that without seeing the information, but also the breakdown that you provided. In my mind, where we are with a player like Jacobs, I think that sounds like a fair price that many people would expect. Personally, for me, at this point, I would rather have the first round draft pick than Jacobs because he is at the point where, like you said, we can only expect that value to go down. I don't think that it's fair to expect production that is going to be like what we saw from years 1 or 2 from him in the majority of scenarios. So I would rather have the first at this point than Jacobs. Obviously, it depends where it is, but I think even a late round first, I might rather that than Jacobs. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I think it's a fair price. I just think it's a fair price. And team context is probably what drives it. I don't think it's like a clear yes or no at that price point. Now that I know that it's Jacobs, there's a couple things I'll say that I think adds to the breakdown here. We've seen coaching changes and help a player like Joe Mixon put it all together a little bit later than we would typically see from a running back in the NFL. And so I think there's a non-zero chance that a player like Jacobs, who now is almost assuredly going to have a coaching change, like a permanent coaching change, occur next year. And with that regime change could come a scheme change and a coach in an offensive system that would potentially allow him to touch the ball more and really be a bell cow. So I think, there's still that outside possibility of something like that happening. If you're somebody holding and you're just like, man, late first, that's just not compelling enough to sell off. But, I think there's a case to hold, especially with next year's draft class looking a little bit weaker in terms of immediate impact fantasy players overall versus what we've seen in the last couple of years. The last thing I'll say is this has been an immensely fun exercise that maybe we should do more of, especially heading into the offseason, because seems like I'm pretty good at it. we should probably name this segment. But also, I think it is helpful because when you take the name off of it, you are now evaluating in such a way that there's no emotion in it at all. And Jacobs isn't really a player that I have a lot of exposure to across, you know, like 15 dynasty teams. But, you know, had I put a different value on him, it's the type of exercise where maybe what I would have thought about going out and, you know, trying to shake the trees on a couple shares.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, for sure. So I have a couple of names in my mind for this exercise. So it might just become a segment that we do every once in a while on here with it, with a name, and maybe if I am feeling crazy, a musical drop. We'll have to see. But love the input there. It definitely is a helpful exercise to go through players like that. So I did mention that one thing I wanted to do here was look at the strength of schedule streaming app, which we will do, Curtis, because I talk about this all the time. But as your league starts to head into the playoffs, and for many people, that is right on the horizon, depending on the structure of your league, one thing I like to do is find two or three defenses that you can put on your team that are going to have favorable matchups. What I'm going to present now are mixtures of two teams that between weeks 15 and 17, between having those two teams, you will have a solid defense each week with a good matchup. If we go into the tool and look at just weeks 15 through 17, Cincinnati actually scores the highest despite having a matchup with Kansas City, who has not been as bad of a matchup for DSTs this year as you would think in comparison to when we headed into the season, followed by LA, Cincinnati, Seattle, Philly, San Francisco, Detroit, Buffalo, the Rams, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, Houston, actually, and Dallas. Here are some good combinations. Now, if you are a listener, pay attention to these. If you are not subscribing to the site, these are the type of things you get on the site that just add to the worth of it. But Philadelphia and Detroit, Philadelphia and Tampa Bay, Dallas and Philly, some of the best stacks you could put together. You got Tennessee and the Chargers, Houston and the Saints, Cincinnati and San Francisco, and Green Bay and Seattle. Go back and listen to those if I went too fast. Unfortunately for you, Curtis, I think it's going to be hard to weigh in here from the car. So we'll move on to the next segment unless you had anything to interject.
All I'll say is that this is a sneaky way to find value on the site. I totally agree with that. And I actually was a week ahead of you on this. I added several of these combinations across my FFPC portfolio in particular. I really start to get a belt and suspenders attitude in redraft football as the fantasy football playoffs approach. And so I have all kinds of Philly, especially. I think the point that you can play off of this is I don't like creation from a FAB or waiver perspective in redraft once the playoff starts, and actually in a lot of leagues, it's actually kind of common to lock Fab and waiver once the playoffs start as well. And so on most of my teams, I've already transitioned to two team defenses and two kickers in leagues that actually have kickers, because I just, and two quarterbacks even, because I just don't want to get caught, you know, with my pants down, you know, on a major weekend at the end of the season. So that you can apply this also to the other onesie positions, I think, and have some value out of that. Tight end, we don't have it for kicker, I don't believe, but no. For tight end and quarterback, it's also very valuable.
Yeah. So definitely, I'm glad that I mentioned this, and I kind of wish I had done it last week, because this is a good way to position your teams. And then, as you said, the exercise of getting ready now for that playoff push is pretty key to set yourself up. Because in, like you said, in a lot of the leagues that I'm in, you actually do not have access to that, you only have access to a limited portion of players. Like in some leagues, once a player is dropped post week 11, they can't be added. Anyway, though, we are going to close off here with a quick look at some players that might be surprising in terms of the points per game that they have put up since week 7. All right. So what I did was I went into the weekly stat explorer, Curtis. I pulled points per game from week 7 on, which for a lot of players gives us 5 or 6 games. Two quarterbacks that I wanted to highlight, one that we actually talked about earlier in the week, Carson Wentz, averaging 19.46 across his last 6 games, puts him in behind Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts in that time frame as a QB1. On the fringe of QB1 territory has been Tua Tagovailoa with 19.27 in that stretch. So we talked about Michael Pittman earlier in the week, and I believe we may have mentioned Jalen Waddle fairly recently. And when we were talking about Pittman, I talked about how surprising Wentz's numbers might have been at one point. So I just kind of wanted to highlight that here as it kind of drives that idea home. Now, Tua, I find particularly interesting, Curtis, because Jalen Waddle has been the wide receiver 14 across the last 6 games. Now, this shouldn't come as that much of a surprise, given what we talked about a couple weeks back when we looked at him in a historical context. Devontae Parker in his one game in that stretch put up 16.5. Both of those players in that mid-level wide receiver 2 tier across that time. This actually is one of those things that I think sets up in a way that makes the Dolphins a hard team to break down. But I think the takeaway here is that Jalen Waddle is looking like a very good dynasty asset as we move forward.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. I want to go back to the Colts first. I think, you know, Wentz being a little bit healthier now toward the end of the year, you know, out further from his injury that occurred back in Philadelphia. And then he was even ouchy at the beginning of this season as well. And so it's nice to see him settling down, because he was a total train wreck in 2020. And it looked like his career might be over. I think we were poking fun at him in the offseason. But it shows you what, you know, if there's something strong in your offense, you know, usually the other phase of the game can benefit from it as well. And with teams really keying up to face off against that offensive line and Jonathan Taylor, you know, it does make things a little bit easier for Winston, whoever's primary targets are going to be, with that being Pittman right now. So it's great. You know, people who had stashed, you know, Winston maybe as a QB3 on some super flex teams, you know, getting some of that value back out of him. And I think he's certainly done enough, and with how the Colts are performing as well, to carry over into 2022 as a presumed starter, which I think is good for him. And then, you know, on the Dolphins, they're talking about Tua. They're going to have a tough decision to make in the offseason. They were tied to Deshaun Watson and so many of the rumors throughout the season. And, I mean, he has, I mean, I wouldn't say that he's wowed. I mean, he's been fantasy usable, but I think he has actually been better in this last month since he returned to the role again. And I think there's some hope. And with all those weapons around him, we still have never gotten to see him with Will Fuller. This mysterious finger injury just taking forever. It's kind of like nothing I've ever seen before. We may not see Fuller in a uniform at all, the rest of the season. But some hope there for Tua. And then, yeah, totally agree on Waddle. And I would like to see that yards per reception overall get up, either by increasing the yards per target, air yards per target, or maybe even more yak. Because right now, it's kind of a situation where he's doing a better version of what Rondale Moore has been doing in Arizona, with, a fair amount of dink and dunk. And, even on the games where we're seeing 7 or 8 receptions, we're not breaking the 100-yard mark. And luckily for him, the touchdowns are coming in droves a little bit. So, I like the exercise. And I think back half of the season, especially when we're talking rookie players, that second half of the season when they're really hitting their stride is what leads us into some players who might really leap up in best ball ADP, and those early drafts that are going to start up. Kind of hard to believe, 6 to 8 weeks from now, we could be doing 2022 best ball drafts already on some platforms. And I think Waddle's certainly one of those players that you have to look for to spike maybe into that top 60 or top 72 of 2022 drafts.
Yeah, the other note on Waddle that coincides with what you said is he right now ranks 85th at air yards per target. He's at just 7.5. Fortunately, though, he's 47. Well, I shouldn't say fortunately, but he's 47th in yards after the catch per reception with 4.4 per, which I guess to some degree has helped him out. But with a player like Waddle, that in college at points looked really explosive, was a big playmaker, a guy that you think could be used more downfield, if we start to see that emerge in his game, then it could really be wheels up for him. And the other notes that I had in looking at wide receiver that I wanted to point out, Elijah Moore across his last 6 games actually comes in at the wide receiver 10 with 17.17. We've talked about him. A player, though, that we haven't given much attention to, Curtis, and we might want to pause here for a second and do so, Darnell Mooney at 15.9 comes in behind Waddle at 16. You had Michael Pittman at 17, who we've mentioned. I'll just highlight Hunter Renfrow at 21. Also, Kendrick Bourne at 23, a player that in some leagues you possibly could find your way into having on your roster. But Darnell Mooney, pretty impressive stuff from him so far. Let me know, though, if there was a guy out of the players I listed you'd rather pause and discuss here.
Yeah, I think mostly it's Elijah Moore. I mean, Elijah Moore, I think you've got to be talking about him as a top 18 dynasty wide receiver at this point. He's going to shoot way up my rank in my next update because he's doing this with some trash at quarterback. But he looked every bit the part of, the next coming of Antonio Brown, which is, the comparison that many were making.
Yeah, I mean, it's been impressive stuff so far. And like you talked about, sometimes what you have to look at with these rookies is once they get into that role in their offense, and once you have more of an idea that they have solidified themselves into a role, how they perform. Now, he does have just 2, since week 7, just 2 wide receiver 1 per finish performances. But I will note that even those falling into the wide receiver 3 range were all around 10 points or higher, with a couple 13-point performances in there. And then in terms of yardage in these games, he's getting he had 1 game with 141, another with 84, the other games down in that 40 range. But we're seeing a decent mixture from him of being able to get high yards per reception. Actually had 17.6 in week 11, 14.7 in week 10. So some weeks he's making it happen with a lot of yardage. Other weeks he's seeing high targets. Some weeks he's seeing both. He's also found the end zone 4 times between weeks 9 and 11. So definitely some positive stuff there. We could probably go a little bit longer, but since Curtis is in the car and I'm worried about his battery dying, Curtis, if you are still with us, why don't you kick us into the weekend with some inspirational thoughts?
Yeah, man. I've gotten really into some of the philosophers from hundreds or even thousands of years ago over the past couple of weeks, because I've just been trying to find ways to try to make sense of, you know, the struggles that I've been dealing with, you know, in my healthcare job, my day job. And, you know, how do I find resilience and stay positive? That is my default. You know, I'm a grinder, I'm a hard worker, always wanting to stay positive, you know, but when things keep happening over and over and over again, and there's not an end in sight, you really have to make sure you've got your mindset locked down so you can have a great day every day and you can stay on track with your personal goals, you know, the things that you want to do with your family, and just continue on the track to achievement and whatever it is that you're doing, regardless of your job, whether you're a student, career-minded, you know, grinding fantasy, whatever it is, I think mindset is important and protecting it is very important. And so I've been getting into the Stoics, you know, Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, and reading a lot of their stuff. I would highly recommend doing just some cursory, like Google searching on that stuff. There's a lot of great social media accounts that you can follow that tweet out Stoic mindset stuff. But the quote I'm going to share is actually from one of the most famous samurais ever, randomly, Dave. Miyamoto Musashi, one of the best sword fighters in the history of you know, the Japanese samurai culture, and he shares this, and this has been kind of like my mantra for the last week. At first, it may seem difficult, but everything is difficult at first. And I think, you know, that's just what it's about, man. Whatever you're trying to tackle, if it's hard, maybe you don't have the right skills or knowledge, but you can develop them. You can work hard and develop those things. Or, you know, maybe it's just a lot of effort and you don't have the time. Okay, well, you find ways to make the time. But as you do something, as you get those mental reps in, as something becomes a habit, it becomes easier. As you gain the experience, it becomes easier. And, you know, the load starts to feel lighter. And so I'll say it once again to commemorate it, but at first, it may seem difficult, but everything is difficult at first. Thank you, Miyamoto Musashi.
Wow. All right. I like that one. It was almost so good that I was going to let us just close down with that, but I just wanted to share with you, Curtis, that hearing Marcus Aurelius from you lets me know that you're in a good place. If you had brought up Diogenes, for anybody that's familiar with his work, I would have known that you were struggling. So...
I mean, for real, Dave, I would really encourage people, to do some research, outside of their fantasy time, you know, that they've got dedicated, or next time you're tempted to save your lineup for the fourth time when you know it's already in there, instead, just go spend 30 seconds researching mindset. It's really valuable and it's good for your mental health.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. Thanks, Curtis, for sharing that message. Hope everybody's games go well, and we will see every one of you next week. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.